So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to Love After Lockup. Haha, okay. I'm Miss H, and today Mr. O and I will be talking about Season 3, Episode 4 of Love After Lockup. This week, we get to meet Destiny and get Sean's first impression. Chevelle and Quaylandria attempt to get on the same page. Jessica and Maurice graduate from the Boom Boom Room to Mr. Bojangles. John overwhelms Christiana with a literal quickie wedding. And Scott has his credit card declined. And we finally meet a hot commodity, Tyrese, who likes big butts like Sean does. If you like what you hear, please support us and leave a 5-star rating, or any other constructive comments are welcome. And if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, check out our other podcast channel, 90 Day MK, Teachable Moments with Miss H and Mr. O. Thanks, stay safe, and enjoy.
Hello, Miss H.
Hello, Mr. O.
How are things?
They are going okay. Summer weirdly is like rolling to a close, it feels like.
Well, yeah, it's I don't know, it's crazy how different on the calendar some people's summers are than others.
Right.
Because I know there's school districts that are already like going back.
They started this week.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, we still have a couple more weeks, and I'm supposed to find out today what I'm teaching. I mean, it's less than 2 weeks away.
It is.
Like, all right.
I always get told at the end of a year, and then I'm like, all right, I'll believe that in August when you actually tell me for real.
I mean, they gave me nothing, so fingers crossed that they're the same classes I taught last year. Otherwise, it's going to be a very chaotic month for me.
Yeah, not only transitioning to, you know, distance ed, also transitioning to a whole new curriculum. Fun.
Right. Yeah. So speaking of chaotic, we have this group.
Yeah. I thought it was I really was into this group this week. It is very interesting. Let's put it that way. I'm liking the season so far. So let's start with Chevelle and Quaylon. Well, you know.
Okay, hold on. We need to sidebar. His mom said Quaylon.
So
he says Quaylon. I'm confused.
I don't know.
I would think his mom would know. She's the one who gave him the name.
It is, but I feel like his mom was somewhere in between what Chevelle was saying and what he says. Like, it was, like, more flat. Like, she's never, like, Quaylon. Like, it's, like, Jason. I feel like she was more like Quaylon. Quaylon. I don't know. I can't do it. Whatever. I was saying Quaylon, so I'm going to, I guess, keep doing it. We'll adjust as it becomes more clear, I guess. I don't know. All right.
Well, I think mom would know, but who knows?
Yeah, but like, I don't know. But mom had an idea, but he might have been going by something. And what's funny is I'm sure he just goes by Quay, like everywhere. Like, I'm sure like when you go out, he's just like, hey, Quay, what's up? Like, nobody would, that just seems like the way I would, that's the way I would call him Quay. But anyway, Chevelle seems to be unpacking in the motel room that they've gotten to, despite the fact that they're only staying there like for a night. When Quaylandria comes in, she apologizes for her behavior from the car when she freaked out on Chevelle for something that was clearly Quaylon's fault. Quaylandria still has the same stance, though, that Quaylon would be better off in Houston, and she wants to do everything possible to keep him out of prison. She tells us in an interview that she doesn't think Quaylon jumping into a super serious relationship straight out of prison is a very good idea at all. She doesn't think they should break up, just maybe not, you know, going straight into moving in together. We find kind of what is really the source of the confusion, and that's that Quaylandria thought that both Quaylon and Chevelle were moving to Houston, which doesn't make any sense to Chevelle. She tells us that's not an option because she has a child, and she never knew that Quaylon had told Quaylandria that. So they both kind of resign themselves to knowing that ultimately it's neither of their decision. It's going to be Quaylon's decision. So then the next morning, they wake bright and early to get Quaylon, which isn't a problem since Chevelle couldn't really sleep anyway. They pack the bags that they had unpacked like 7 hours ago and start to drive to the prison. On the way, Chevelle is getting more and more giddy about the prospect of seeing her man and getting laid, which Quaylandria tells us is just TMI.
Yeah, right.
Quaylandria is much more cautious and says she'll believe he's getting out when she sees it. But as they pull in, they both start chanting, let him go. And then they get out to wait for him, and the segment ends with the prison gates opening. They start to open. So what do you think? Is he going to Houston? Is he going to Kansas City?
That's a good question. I feel like Kansas City would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that Quaylandria came off real strong last episode.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, goodness. But she calmed down. And I thought she was incredibly reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
They had a very productive conversation, which is not where I thought that was headed as
right.
of last week.
Right.
So I think that she can be reasoned with. And I think if she just knows, like truly knows that Chevelle and her want the same thing in the end, which is to keep Quaylon out of prison, I feel like she'd be more willing to kind of let go. Because, I mean, that's really what she wants in the end. She does not want him to go back.
Right. Right.
And so if she can kind of almost have some kind of guarantee on that, then I think things are good.
Right. But I mean, you can't offer that guarantee. And that's what she was like. She was like, the biggest thing that's going to get him going back is if he starts hanging out with the same people who he was hanging out with before he went to prison, the same people who put him into jail, who got him shot, which is a new revelation that,
right.
that she had given us, that she found out on her birthday when he didn't
yeah.
come home, that he had been shot and was in the hospital and then never came home again.
Yeah,
it went straight from there to jail, to the trial, to prison. So that was, yeah, that would traumatize you. And she's just afraid
right.
the same group and the same environment is going to produce the same result. And I can't really blame her. Like, she's kind of doing everything she has in her control to, like, stop this from happening again. Like, it. So I totally see where she's coming from. But I just think it's going to be a bad push and pull. I agree with you. I think he's going to pick Kansas City. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to move in. And then it's just going to be every time things go even a little, that specter of I might move to Houston is just going to be there over their entire relationship the whole time.
I can see that. Yeah, because it is. It'll be a safety net for him. And
absolutely.
He's going to get it in his ear from his mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like she's going to say it any chance that she can get, you know, like. Well, you can always come to Houston if things are bad there. If you're feeling tempted, you can come to Houston.
Right.
Like, if you're feeling stressed, that could make you fall into the wrong crowd. Like, let's go to Houston. So.
Oh, yeah. Let's come to Houston is going to be her solution to every problem he has that he expresses to her. Absolutely.
Right, right. So, yeah, I think he's going to start off in Kansas City, at least. I think he's going to try it out.
Yeah, I could definitely foresee being this, you know, we see this a lot in this show where they try out and a couple months later they're somewhere else and then a couple months later they're somewhere else and then a couple months later they're somewhere else. Like I could totally see this being one of those situations where he kind of bounces back and forth between Kansas City and Houston, you know, intermittently, depending on basically, I don't know, maybe who's pissing him off at the time.
Right. I definitely can see that too. I think that the mom has been incredibly more reasonable, and I think that her saying that, you know, an instant family situation is totally valid.
Yeah.
Because I think he is going to get stressed out living with Chevelle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like.
And a child. Oh, my God. And a child.
Yes. He's expected to be a father. Like, I know he comes off as really mature and like very thoughtful so far.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like at the same time, we've kind of had this, we talked about this before, just our kind of running psychological theory that most of these people who go to prison at a really young age, it's almost like they're still in that mentality, right? And he went to prison when he's 17.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a 17-year-old being mature enough to be an instant father and not be stressed out by that?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Because you're right. The 17-year-olds, I mean, he does, when he speaks, he does remind me of a lot of my students who are like, okay, I know I'm on stage right now. I know I'm talking to the big teacher guy. I gotta put in my mature voice, and here it comes. And I've seen that in them, and I know, and I know they're trying great, and it's fantastic. I love the students, you know, putting forth the effort and everything. But it's like at the end of the day, I can tell you're still putting on a show for me. Like I can tell that this is that you aren't really mature enough to handle. I wouldn't, you know, trust you to raise a child. Like it's a good thing you're just asking me, you know. which I wouldn't have trusted myself to raise a child when I was 17 either. Like, that's just like a universal truth. And it's, I don't know, I agree with her. It's too many changes at once.
Yeah, definitely. So, ooh, I'm worried about Kansas City for him, and I get it. But I don't know what the better option is for them as a couple, because I can't imagine them working out, because Chevelle is basically looking for a father for her daughter. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the long distance relationship works because there is an end date to it, right? His prison release time. But now if they're doing the long distance thing and there is no end date to it, then that is going to be a problem.
Right. And I totally agree with her. She has her kids. She has her entire support network that she's developed as a single mother in Kansas City. Moving up and moving to Houston is a non-starter. Like, that's right. That's not reasonable for her. Because obviously, I mean, and she said this, but I believe her at this point. She's going to put the needs of her daughter above whatever her relationship with Quaylen is.
Sure. Okay, so let's talk about Chevelle's priorities here.
Okay.
Chevelle's priorities, like you said, I feel like are getting laid.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
And I struggle with this because she is so hell-bent on getting laid that she is willing to kind of push off these serious conversations because she doesn't want to ruin the moment. And by the moment, she means her night of sex.
Right, which is weird because I feel like she could get that if she wanted it without doing this whole prison thing.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I do genuinely think she loves him.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, she has that emotional attachment where she wants to have sex with him specifically.
Sure.
Right?
Uh-huh.
She's concerned about the answers to these difficult conversations, how that's going to affect their future. And so she doesn't want to bring that up now because I think she doesn't want to find out that she's not going to have a future with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of ruins it, because then what's the point of having sex with him? And would you be able to?
Okay, so, but we also said last week to not make major life decisions when you're horny. Right.
Yes.
So I feel like she needs to get this out of the way. She's like, well, let's put this on the back burner so that we can think about this with a clear head.
You support this theory. I mean, this strategy.
I am indifferent to this strategy because I don't know. I just feel like when somebody has been with somebody for this long and they've not had sex and they really want to have sex, then that kind of, clouds everything and like puts you in a bad place for decision making. And I don't blame them for being like, yeah, for the first thing, it's the most important to do right now, because it's not like it's a long term thing. It's not like I was like, I will do anything to continue having sex with this guy. It's like, let's just do this once and then see where we are.
Well, I don't know. I kind of feel like if you are making those kinds of decisions where like sex is kind of, you know, really heavily influencing like your actions like this, I feel like that's not a one-time thing. It's like sex will continue to heavily influence your actions. Because, I mean, this is serious. She's looking for a father replacement here.
Right, right, which is, I don't know.
That's not something that should be taken lightly.
No, it's definitely not. It's definitely not. I don't know. I feel like at least, I don't know, in somebody's head, she's separating, you know, the father part versus the I'm horny right now part. I don't think those are necessarily as intertwined. They could be. And I'm sure some people, they're way more intertwined than in other people. So I don't know where she is on that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anything else with them?
I don't think so.
Okay. So let's move on to, check in on our new couple. Well, we really only meet Tyrese, but Tyrese and Shonda. Mm-hmm. So we first meet Tyrese, a self-proclaimed hot commodity, because he's an engineer who's financially stable and he's a good-looking guy. I mean, this is all self-proclaimed. So naturally, women assume that he's a player, but really, he says he's a romantic at heart. He's into long walks in the park, snuggling and really loving on some understanding, independent, strong woman who has a nice butt. Like Shondell. He came across Shonda by accident as a prison pen pal ad popped up on his phone, and he started, you know, scrolling, because he was bored. He wrote her and visited her in prison. She's in prison for 3.5 years for selling drugs. Oh, he mentions again that he loves her big ol' ass. Tyrese has 3 grown children who don't know much, if anything, about Shonda because he's worried what they will all say about the age difference because Tyrese is 49 and Shonda is 28. Tyrese is thinking marriage, even though they've only been dating for 2.5 months. He meets up with his friend Tanji, who is helping him pick out some clothes for Shonda. Tanji just doesn't get it. He has options. Why would he want a woman who has nothing coming out of a prison? She assumes Shonda is only interested in his money. Tyrese tells Tanji Shonda has been to prison twice, and Tanji just rolls her eyes like she knows better. Tyrese gets defensive and claims that Tanji doesn't ever like anyone that he dates, probably because she's jealous. Tyrese ends up spending about $560 on clothes, including a jacket with furry sleeves, and he's a little sticker shocked when he gets the bill. Tanji makes some comment about how he might get mixed up in trouble if he keeps hanging around people like Shonda. All right, so Tyrese says that Tanji, you know, she's always suspicious and jealous. So do you think Tanji is justifiably suspicious of Tyrese's girlfriends, or do you think that she just wants him for herself?
I mean, it did enter my mind that is like, wait, is Tanji just into him? Like, is that why she's hanging around? But I don't know. I don't want to be that person. I'm going to give everybody the benefit of the doubt and say they are just friends. Okay? And there's no romantic interest in her.
I think I need a little bit more background information.
Oh, sure. That's why I said benefit of the doubt. I was like, okay, let's take it as what they're telling us. Is it true? Maybe, maybe not.
I feel like they would say something if it – okay, because I feel like he would take that opportunity – to kind of be like, well, she's jealous because at one point she wanted a relationship with me. Mm-hmm. I feel like he would say something along those lines. Because, I mean, he likes to build himself up. That's, you know, he's a player, didn't you know?
Oh, no, he's not a player. People think he's a player, but...
Yeah, but he could be mistaken as a player because he's a good-looking guy. He's a hot commodity.
A hot commodity. A 49-year-old with a string of X's. Like, hot commodity. Right.
So I just feel like he would say, if Tanji was into him, he would have definitely said that. Like, all the ladies are into me. Of course Tanji is into me too. That's the only reason why she's, and I allow her to be my friend because I'm just that generous.
Okay. I don't know. I don't think Tanji would hang around if he talked about her like that though. She would be, if you know what I'm saying? I feel like she would be way less into him if he was like, I only let you hang around because you're into me. You know, it's like that would like it reverse the thing because I don't know what she has against about his other girlfriends, but she certainly has a point with this one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I think the thing that really occurred to me, and this is why I kind of asked this question, mm-hmm. and I think like just even in our friendship, we haven't seen this yet, mostly because you haven't dated anyone that I have got to meet.
Right.
But I guess I'll forewarn you, Mr. O. Like, I definitely have very high standards for my guy friends.
Okay.
And they certainly mostly date people that I'm not super, like, thrilled about. And my thinking on it is that I know them like they're my friends, right? And I just feel like they're selling themselves short and they can just do so much better. And it confuses me why they kind of pick these people that just are causing them more stress and anxiety and not really adding a value plus to their life, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Right? And so is it because I'm personally jealous? No, it's because I think that they could do better. And I would say that it's not – I don't hate everyone. In fact, usually the ones that I really like, I would say most of them go on to marry. So, I mean, it's not just me, I feel like. Like, maybe they also feel it. I mean, sure. I also have learned my lesson about, I'll tell you once, but I'm not going to harp on it too much because, you know, I'm not going to lose a friendship just because I have to keep on telling you every chance I get that I really hate your girlfriend.
Right. No, I hear that. I don't know. It's not really a situation, you know, in my experience, I've been around a lot of times. Like you know, because it's also with like guy friends, which I'll be, you know, honest here. I don't have a ton of. Like, you know, it's very notorious for guy friends to be like, oh, that girl he's engaged to, what's her name? They're like, Julie, I think.
Yeah, something beginning with a J. I think she was at a game once. I don't know, maybe.
So, you know, that's the kind of stuff, which makes sense that it was his, you know, BFF friend that's a girl, a woman that was there instead of like a guy who was like, who would have just, you know, been, you know, talking about it.
Like, cool, bro.
Like, looking at that weird ass gallery he had of pictures of her ass. What the hell was that?
That was super weird. He really likes her ass. And all the pictures that he had, like, curated for that photo collage were all definitely, like, ass with, like, the looking over the shoulder situation.
Yes, he clearly has a profile. He has a type. Yeah, it was all really, really featuring her ass. Just everything. Yes. It's like, okay. I guess. I mean,
he's really into it.
He's a man who knows what he likes, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, good for him.
And what was that store they were shopping at? It seemed so, like, weird because, okay, so this happens a lot. They tends to be, they're getting out. They need to buy basically a whole wardrobe for the person who's getting out of prison. That was not a place where you could get a whole wardrobe. That was like a weird boutique.
And yes, it's like, definitely boutique, which is why it was so expensive. He was like shocked, like, what the hell? Yeah, because he probably bought like six things there.
Yeah.
And then was just like, wait, what? And I mean, Tanji, I don't know, girlfriend looks like she has expensive taste.
Sure. Because
she was like, what about this? And that was that weird like jacket thing that was like with the furry.
Right. But that's all you can get there. I was like, listen, I know we like to get her nice things, but we got to get her like jeans. She's got to have
like practical things. She's got to cover that ass somehow.
She's got to have something to cover that ass. Like, let's get these first and worry about this boutique-y stuff later. Oh, and that's especially boutique-y stuff is so up to personal taste.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because it's definitely more bold fashion choices, right, which not everybody is that into.
And even if you are into bold fashion choices, like bold in one way, I like bold in this other way that I would say is equally bold, but that's hideous. And that one's really cute. Like, it's so much
just
your personal taste.
Yeah. I mean, going back to, she's going to have to get some special kind of jeans or something.
Yeah.
She's very curvy.
She's like, she needs to try things on. Definitely. She needs to be there to try things on. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I agree. Like, she has a nice round ass, but I also feel like it's going to be difficult for her to find something at a boutique like that.
It really is.
Like, that jacket, I was just like, is that going to fit her?
Right. Yeah. And we had other issues with people just like picking stuff out sight unseen. Like, does he even know how tall she is? Like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I guess they did meet, right? This day I've met, right?
I think so.
I think he said he went to the prison to meet her. So
yes, that's good. He did.
It doesn't matter to him because he just wears stuff that is just giant balloon baggy on him. God. So he doesn't have to worry about things fitting. It's a jacket that's three sizes too big.
Right. There you go. He's the kind of guy who like lives in like jerseys of some kind.
Sure.
Right? Or like tracksuits.
Oh,
suits and like
athleisure wear. He's got that big. Yeah. I know so many guys. So many guys his age. Like that, right about 50, that dress like that. And they're just like, whatever. Just give me a 3X polo shirt. Fine. That's good. I'm done.
They like to swim in their clothes. In fact, we have a mutual teacher friend.
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
That he's probably a large.
Yeah.
But he consistently, and I've been in charge of t-shirt orders for a couple different things now that he's been involved in, consistently orders XXXL. And it's just like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
Why?
Are you ordering a nightgown? That's like, and not, yeah, certainly there are people who fit that, but not him. And like,
No. I said, he's a large.
Tyrese could look a lot better if he got somebody to just say, hey, Tyrese, man, you need like two sizes smaller.
Well, you know what, Mr. Ho? He just likes everything big.
Yeah.
He likes big clothes. He likes big butts.
Right. Big red flags.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Anything else on him before we move on?
No.
All right. So I'm going to go with Maurice and Jessica. So we pick up pretty close to where we left off last week. Jessica and Maurice are 20 minutes outside the prison now, driving in what I assume is a rented Escalade because it wasn't her busted car that she was driving earlier.
Oh, goodness.
They have some chores to do before they go back home. Maurice needs to check in with parole in L.A. so he can get the parole transferred to Las Vegas, where they plan on moving. But that's the plan for like the next couple days. The plan for today, like Chevelle, is to have tremendous amounts of sex. So they stop at an Airbnb called Mr. Bojangles. And as soon as they arrive, Maurice enjoys something else he didn't get to have in prison. Soft toilet paper. Then soon they are just hanging out and kind of hinting at production to leave. But the production people are pretty much like, well, don't let us stop you.
You do you.
You do you guys. We'll just be chilling. So they kind of get in the bedroom and before they get completely naked, but after Jessica throws a blanket on the lower half to cover herself up, they start talking about how the conjugal or family visits went when he was in prison, or as Maurice refers to it, the boom boom room. God. Maurice tells us that he's ready to have kids with a Z and tells Jessica that he's been, let's say, saving things up for Jessica. They finally kick production out of the room to get busy, but either forgot or, more disturbingly, didn't care that the microphones are still on and we get to hear some
gross,
extremely intimate sounds from the bedroom.
A lot of reassurance, too.
I mean, it was like,
oh, that was so good.
Well, yes, that was so good in the middle, but it was at the end. But there was, you know, sound effects and things you really only hear in porn. But okay.
Yeah.
We got to get there. So we see them one more time in that weird commercial segment shot part that they always throw in for one of the couples.
This is so funny.
They're getting to the airport and Maurice is fascinated and terrified by the planes. He has clearly never been in a plane or to an airport before.
Oh, so sweet.
He even watches a plane take off in amazement in front of the production, which, yeah, to be fair to Maurice, I still kind of do myself, even though I've been in a plane tons of times. Then as he's boarding, he tells us that as a young black man, he's scared of heights, spiders, snakes, and boats.
Was so funny to me. Yep. So he's trying to tell me that Snakes on a Plane is the most terrifying film of all times.
Snakes on a Plane, and then there was a spider on a boat, you'd have nothing. It'd be all done. All right, so what do you think? Did they forget the microphones or did they leave them on purpose?
Oh gosh.
I lean toward forget myself.
I don't think they were on them. They can't possibly.
No. Right? I assume the microphones were like on the floor.
They took them off and probably stuck them on the nightstand or something and then forgot them.
Yes. And just, well, they took them off, but didn't turn them off.
Yes. I can see that happening. Or because maybe they thought they turned it off, but they hadn't actually.
Right.
So I don't know if it was intentional because that's just weird.
It is weird.
Yeah, so Maurice did talk about how he's been saving himself for the last 2 months. And it's just like, I didn't want to think of details, but I couldn't help but wonder, like, how do you jack off if you're never alone, really?
Oh, my understanding is that prison has a pretty much don't ask, don't tell. Like, you just pretend things aren't happening, but you know are happening. Like, because, okay, like, because, like, there's bunks and stuff, right? If there's, like, a bunk and you guys, you're like, okay, it's bedtime and we're just not going to.
And let's just also not do it at the same time because that would also be awkward and weird. We'll take shifts. I'll take the first shift. You take the second shift.
It's my night or it's your night. We're not, we can't be buddies on this. This is not okay. But, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So, yeah, that was my question.
Right.
Oh, concerning.
It was.
Also, other quick note, Maurice looks good.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I could do. I feel like take away the tattoos because he has some questionable tattoos.
Oh, I didn't even. I mean, I noticed he had tattoos, but I didn't like actually see. What
yeah,
they
I'm
were.
Just. I'm just not a fan as what come as it comes up later. I'm not a huge fan of like the chest tattoos. I think they almost always look bad.
Yeah.
If it's like the one that goes across your whole chest,
gosh, yeah.
Yeah, that's always out there. I'm not a huge fan of tattoos anyway, but you know, some they work for some yeah. people.
I kind of feel like we're in the same boat a little bit, but I think like. His were a little bit more like blended in and discreet.
Sure. Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, you get the contrast with someone like Christiana.
Yeah. Or Destiny. Mm-hmm. That was the one I was like, oh, hello there.
Oh, that's a tattoo.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Also because Destiny is so pale.
Right.
So definitely shows up like more bold.
Right. Yeah. But in all terms right. of just, you know, physique, which is... That's always tricky when somebody first gets out of prison because people tend mm-hmm. to – men tend to look like at their best peak physique when they get out of prison.
I think we've talked about my friend who's been to prison uh-huh. and he definitely partied hard. So he was chunky. He goes to prison for like 2 years. He comes out. Oh, my gosh. He was like so cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took him about another 8 months to get back to where he was
before. That sounds about right. That sounds about right.
So, yeah.
I mean, we saw the pictures of him before, so he didn't seem like he was like chunky. Maurice didn't seem like he was chunky before. No. But yeah, in terms
he's
of.
He's also young.
Everybody we've seen before, clearly the most attractive person on the show. Right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. There were some other attractive ones, but they were like missing teeth and other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Specifically this season.
I would say, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not definitely.
Saying, yeah, he's definitely leading the pack in terms of.
Good looking,
right.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about John and Christiana. So we pick up where we left off, where John tells Christiana they need to have a talk. He then gets down on one knee and asks her if she'll marry him. Christiana just says, oh my gosh, a few times before she actually says yes. Christiana thinks he's nuts, but she's excited. She has already thought about what her dream wedding would look like, and it sounds like in great detail because it includes her mom being involved, a white tux for John, a corset dress for herself, some other decorations like mason jars and candles. And then Christiana gets whisked away into the limo to their wedding chapel on wheels. And John still hasn't told her that they're actually planning on getting married right now. But they're running low on time as they only have about 20 minutes before they have to get on the road. Christiana is admiring her ring and looks up to wonder where the hell they are because they seem to be heading into the woods. Oh, scary.
Always a good sign.
So,
uh-huh.
Yeah. I know, right? But she does think it's pretty. She tells him that, you know, she can't be late. So they get out of the limo and Carrie John's friend is the one who breaks it to her that this wedding is happening now. Christiana admits that this is so fast. She doesn't know how she feels, and she is concerned specifically over religious differences. John has bought her a wedding dress, but it doesn't actually fit. And Christiana tried it on, but it was on the verge of ripping. So instead, she is wearing John's jacket. Christiana tells us in an interview that commitment kind of scares her. That's not a good sign. And she feels overwhelmed. Christiana admits to the girlfriend who's there, who is helping her get ready, that she doesn't know she can do this. All right. So would you want to marry someone that you put on the spot? So you're John in this situation.
I'm
not
John
Christiana.
In this situation. No, I would have given up if I was John. OK, so this whole segment just hit like all of my stress pressure points. That I'm like, no, this is like, I hate feeling like I've put someone on the spot. I hate rushing mm-hmm. people. I hate being rushed.
Oh, I know. I hate that feeling of being late.
All yeah. of these things are just terrifying to me. This was like a
right.
huge, just perfect storm of the, like things that would stress Mr. O out. Go. Oh, the dress doesn't fit. I picked it out. Oh, man, this is all. Ugh. I don't know how either of these people can stomach what's going on right now. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, I just, from my perspective, like, I don't understand why he would want to put her on the spot. Like, I get that he's trying to lock it down. I get that he thinks that this is the most romantic gesture. And that's really what he's going for, I feel right. like. You know, he's going for this, like, I just want to prove to her that I love her so much that I am willing to kind of put my heart on the line, take this risk. I'm trying to lock it down. But, I mean, I think Christiana is absolutely justified. And I would say that most women, and I'm talking like 95% of women, would feel the way that she does.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean that she hasn't thought about it, because clearly she's thought about this wedding. She had some pretty specific details of what she pictured at her dream wedding.
Right.
But I think that's also an issue. Like, he didn't ask her any input of what she wanted in a wedding. And so he just kind of threw something together. This isn't her dream wedding. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's like, if I'm John, like, I'm putting this person on the spot so they feel pressured to say yes. And I don't know if he actually realizes he's pressuring her to say yes and force this situation. But it's like, she could just be going along with it because she doesn't know how to say no.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it seems to me he's not reading her like at all.
Oh, no.
This did not land like he wanted it to. And he's still kind of pushing for it to go through anyway. Because you're right. He did think it was a romantic gesture. Mm-hmm. She's not taking it that way. She's clearly not taking it that way. She's clearly taking it as pressure and stress, especially because she has to get to the halfway house.
Right.
And I'm with you. It's like, I wish John would just think, like, you know, it's tic-tac-toe and he can't think of two moves ahead. Like, what woman ever would you imagine if they said, what's your perfect wedding? Would they say, oh, one that I didn't have any hand in planning. That's what I want.
Right. In the back of some truck.
Yeah. Even if it was in the back of the truck, I can't imagine any woman who was like, who doesn't want to be at least a part of planning their wedding. That's crazy.
At least pick out their dress.
At least picking out their dress or the candles. Right. You know, I could say like, hey, I could see it being a romantic gesture and be like, hey, I know planning is not your thing. Give me like two things you want at the wedding and I'll make that happen. Like, even that would be like, oh, I can see it. But clearly she had not done that. Clearly she, because production knew, because production asked her and she had ideas about like what would you want. So clearly he hasn't asked her, or he'd have the damn mason jars. It wasn't even that big of an ask. Mason jars.
Yeah. I mean, he could have thrown some candles in a mason jar. Like, that's easy, right?
Right. And it was like the first thing she said. I mean, and then he's doing it like, and another thing I would imagine 95% of women would want. What do you want at your wedding? I want my mom there.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Like, that's kind of crazy that he's just like, the most romantic thing I can think of is fuck what she wants. Let's go. Like,
yeah.
Like, and I don't think he was like, fuck what she wants. I think he was just like,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't even occur to me that she might want something.
Right. So you now have this person who's just kind of going along with this because they can't say no, or they don't know how to say no. And it's like,
an addict. And it's an addict. Of course they don't know how to say no. Oh my God.
Yeah. At some point, you know, they're going to figure out like, okay, this isn't what I want. So now you have the situation where they're like unhappy about how this all happened, or the current situation that they're in, or that they're finally just going to be like, I don't want this, and like leave.
Yeah. And I forgot the addict part. Oh my God. You just took an addict out of prison and were like, stress, let's go.
Oh God. I know.
Like, oh my God. So I don't know. I'm really rooting for her to just be like, listen, I don't want to do this. I'm done. Let's go. I'm really rooting for that to be how it goes down next time. I don't know that it does. And it makes me sad.
Yeah. I honestly, she did not really seem like she has that strong of a personality.
Right.
She does seem like one of those like happy-go-lucky types. Mm-hmm.
Right. What I kind of want then is I want that friend or whatever that was asking the questions before the wedding to be like, no, she's not.
Yeah. She's not ready.
She's not ready. Yeah. So, all right. Moving on then. All right. Is Sean and Destiny. Oh, big boy, Sean. Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
so Sean has just landed in Sacramento to pick up Destiny. And his first order of business is to use an ironing board, a hot plate, and a tube of mystery meat to make some tacos. Because apparently Destiny loves tacos, and there won't be any taco trucks between the prison and wherever they're going. In Sacramento.
That seems unlikely.
Yeah.
It seems really unlikely.
He gently balances the tacos into some random purse and then tells us that his biggest fear about today isn't getting catfished, isn't getting scammed, but it's that Destiny might not be as attractive as she is in the picture that he's been creepily carrying around everywhere.
Gross.
And studying and like caressing. After he arrives to wait outside the prison, he gets a weird, cryptic, likely highly edited phone call from Destiny where we hear her say that she's going to have a fucking heart attack before hanging up.
Super bizarre.
It was really weird. Like, that's all we heard her say. So that's why I was like, it had to be more of that. They edited stuff out. Sean starts to get slightly worried because it's not like her to hang up like that. But soon she comes out carrying all of her possessions in a trash bag, which makes Sean observe, you come with a lot of baggage. Well, at least he carries the bag, unlike John. They hug and Sean tries to pick her up, but Destiny tells him to stop. Also, she tells him not to look at her because she's not wearing makeup and looks like shit.
Aww.
I know. Then we get our first interview with Destiny, where she tells us that she's been in and out of jail since being 13 and has been always thought of living as a series of parties and drugs. She tells us that Sean has changed that because he's the first person she's been with that makes her feel worthwhile. She also tells us that Sean is a little older than expected, but he's still handsome. So maybe she's missing glasses or something. I don't know.
God, probably.
Then Sean tells us that Destiny doesn't look like she does in her picture, but he studied his creepy pocket picture enough to know that the facial expressions and stuff, it's really her. He says he generally goes for short, skinny girls, but since they have a spark, he'll make an exception for Destiny.
Oh, I hate this guy.
They get in the car. Destiny eats the cold tacos and calls them bomb. And then Sean reminds us that he's still keeping some mystery secrets from Destiny. So let's start with the, I'll make an exception for her being a little chubby.
Ugh, I hate him. That is the worst.
Like, you know you're on camera, right? Like, you know she's going to see it. Like, you know all these things.
Okay, and let me say something about Destiny. She is a cute girl. And I mean, she is not fat by any means.
Oh, no.
If anything, and I know it's hard to tell because she was wearing sweats, but she just looks a little curvy.
Yeah. Yeah. She was like, it looked like, because I feel like it's kind of the opposite for women for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Like,
I know,
they come
right?
out of prison looking worse, not like,
right.
like body wise. They tend to come out of prison chubbier.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know exactly why that happens, why the guys all come out cut and the women all get some sort of weird double standard of prisons or something.
But maybe they don't have treadmills.
Possibly. Well, that's the other thing, too, is, yeah, your stereotypical guy, they come out, they always say people come out jacked because there's literally nothing to do but lift weights. Like, I'm bored. What do? You lift weights because that's it, right? But I don't think they have, you know, women tend to do, you know, they tend to jog, they tend to run track, cardio stuff. It just isn't as conducive to, you know, prison life, I guess.
Right. That'd be interesting. I definitely have noticed a trend. I feel really bad for Destiny for so many reasons, but this is someone who has very likely had a really bad either home life.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Or a trauma
mm-hmm.
or something, because like, how are you getting involved with being in and out of jail at such a young age? And it's so clear that she has very, very low self-esteem.
Oh, very
much,
and
it makes me so sad for her. She is a really cute girl, but she didn't even want Sean looking at her because she didn't have makeup on and she didn't feel comfortable or confident in herself. And like, I get it. It's like, I kind of feel like I don't look my best if I'm, you know, like, don't have makeup on or like actually put effort into my appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to like be like, don't look at me. I'm hideous.
Well,
you
especially
know?
Like, to somebody that you're planning on like spending your life with. Like, that's,
yeah, they're going to see worse.
Hopefully they'll see worse.
Right.
Like, you kind of, that's kind of the point, is you want them to see worse eventually. But
yeah.
Super low self-esteem, because I really literally think that the reason she's into him is I think he might be the only guy that's like been legitimately into her ever that she's met.
Yes. And I kind of also feel like if she's been going around doing the things that she's been doing with dating, which is basically like, I cannot show you a picture of myself that is recent. Uh-huh. Most guys are a little bit smarter than Sean and going to be like, I don't want to be involved in this situation because I don't want to find out what you're really hiding.
Right.
You know, thinking that it's not her at all.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like just with those kind of limitations.
Sure.
She's already kind of making her dating options like mm-hmm. very small in number to begin with.
Right.
And I just feel like she's selling herself short in a lot of ways. She actually very much like reminds me of Tracy.
Okay.
From last season of Love After Lockup. Like Tracy, like you, she's a likable person and you can just tell that she's just been through shit and that, you know, her drug addiction is her main source of issues. But the reason why she's a drug addict, both of them are like these very deep issues that they have and they feel like they can't be loved by other people, and that's why they kind of lower their standards and have these guys that really just aren't worth their time.
No, they aren't, and it complicates things because, you know, we talk about Tracy. Neither Clint nor Sean are anywhere close to emotionally or intellectually mature enough to be able to deal with these issues at all.
Yeah,
Sean just like, I like boobies. Boobies are good. Yeah, like that's right? That's the like mental
I
level.
I like skinny girls.
I like skinny girls with boobies. That's fun. She looked really cute in her picture. I can tell it's her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's my tacos, like my tube of meat tacos. What? Oh, it's such a sad.
Well, I was like, where did he get this hot plate from? I'm pretty sure that the hotel is not providing him with that because that can't be safe.
Yeah, it depends on like what kind of hotel you're at. If it's like if it's like I imagine like some sort of truck stop motel, they might have some hot plates.
I don't know because I feel like hotels would not trust the general population with hot plates because even look at him, he had it on an ironing board. That does not seem like a safe place for a hot plate.
Ironing boards are flame retardant. That's why they're ironing boards.
Yes, but they're not super stable.
They're not super stable. That is true.
No. And so if like someone knocks the ironing board, hot plate's going down. Yeah, and that's a problem.
And the whole thing, I was just like, you are not going to make a taco. And it was cold because we see how long it takes to get somebody out of prison. He's like,
yeah,
you want to eat a cold taco? Oh, she's not going to like, she's not a total asshole. So she's not going to be like, these tacos suck. You suck. Why'd you give me cold tacos? But
I think she genuinely was into it. I mean, if they sucked, I feel like she would just eat it real slowly.
I guess. Sad.
She seemed eager to be eating that taco.
It just, yeah. So like cold ass, hot plate, cheap ass scrapple meat tacos is like the nicest thing someone's done for her. Then I'm like, oh, poor Destiny.
Oh, I know. Plus, it's like he basically was trying to recreate, what did he call it, a chalupa or a gordita?
A gordita. I can't remember. That's when you take the, I don't know. I can never tell.
So basically the thing that's at Taco Bell. So why don't you just freaking go through a Taco Bell?
I'm sure you can find a Taco Bell.
Yours is not tasting much better than a Taco Bell. So
I guarantee that.
Do that.
I guarantee. Let it, forget the taco trucks. Those can be tricky to find because they're not on your Google Maps, but the Taco Bell is, right. Sure.
Yeah, that's why I was just like, I don't get it. Isn't he just recreating something that already exists?
Yeah,
it's not like he's a genius.
Right, and they're in California. They could probably find a Del Taco too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and we have like decent-ish enough
fast food tacos. Sure.
Yeah. All right. Last up, we have Scott and Lindsay. So Scott is preparing to pick up Lindsay. He's planning to pick up a steak dinner and champagne so Lindsay can have a nice meal on their way to the halfway house where she will meet up with her daughter and mom. Too bad Lindsay says that she really just wants pancakes and champagne. It's her birthday tomorrow, so Scott is pulling out all the stops, including picking her up in a limo. But there's one catch. The credit card he first gives the limo company is declined. The second card, however, goes through. Scott tells us that he bought her a cell phone, clothes, and a car, so, you know, it makes sense that he had to shuffle around money. But that doesn't mean his ass is broke. Lindsay is excited to get out, and she says that there are things that she's going to have to learn about Scott, like if he snores or tosses and turns at night. We then see Scott at the airport, ready to pick up Lindsay, and he's getting kind of anxious because he hasn't heard anything from anyone, so he really doesn't know if she's actually on her way and if everything is going all right. He then sees a plane that he makes the assumption has to be hers, and it ends there. All right, so do you think that Scott really does have money, or do you think that he's hiding some potential financial issues, you know, with his credit card being declined was kind of our first yellow flag?
Yeah, I would say so. So interesting statistic that I always find interesting. I've heard it a few times before, but Scott really brings it to mind. Teachable moment. Of people who make six figures in a year, $100,000 or more, about 18% of them live paycheck to paycheck.
That's interesting.
So almost one-fifth of people who pull in more than $100,000 a year are still living paycheck to paycheck. And Scott made me think of them because I think I think he actually does make a decent amount of money. I also think he spends it all and is kind of broke. But he doesn't think of himself as broke because he just looks at his income and says, I'm not broke.
Sure. Yeah. But I also got the impression that he has to be retired. Like, what allows him to just pick up and move to another state?
Sure. I kind of got the impression that he might be, like, the kind of guy who owns, like, who owns something that kind of runs itself, right?
Yeah.
Like a car dealership or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a boat dealership or an RV. But some kind of business where he can just be like, yeah, I'm still writing everybody's check, but I can write – I'm not really doing any work. I have a manager who does all that, and I just – you know, after you work, so you come almost be semi-retired, where you don't actually have to be retired, but since it's your money that's running the place, then you don't have to actually be
there.
You
just kind of benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to be there. I was kind of thinking that he does something kind of, I don't know, especially, and maybe it made me think of this because he's from New York.
Mm-hmm.
He's someone who's kind of like an e-stock trader type person.
Oh, like a day trader or something?
Yeah.
He has a lot of Bitcoin.
I was gonna say, I was just thinking that. I was like, that seems like a little.
No, he's one of those guys. He's one of those guys. He runs a business where you like, where they like buy people's gold jewelry and resell it. He's all about gold. Gotta invest in gold.
Yeah, I could see that.
Gotta invest in gold.
Yeah.
That's gold is where it's at. Gold never loses value.
Yeah, I can see him doing something that's like, you know, he wakes up when he wants to. He's like semi-retired, you know, like goes online. Does a few trades,
mm-hmm.
makes a little bit of money. And I mean, the reality is too, he's going from New York to Mississippi or Missouri. I can't remember.
Mississippi, literally the cheapest state in the country to live in.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like his money's going to go a lot farther. And so I feel like that's another reason why he hasn't really worried about it.
Right.
Because if he, you know, even takes a pay cut because he's not working as much remotely, he's still in a good place.
Right. Right. I mean, yeah, because, I mean, he wears decent stuff. Like, he was wearing, like, Under Armour, like, polo shirts. Not the regular, but, like, you know, fancy stuff. And, like, so I can see where he likes to spend money. But I just don't think he's quite as well off as he wants us to think he is. I'm sure he's well off, right?
I don't think he's hurting for money. I do think it's suspicious that his credit card is declined.
Yeah.
Because how much is a limo? Like, $500? $1,000? Doesn't seem like that much money.
Yeah, that seems like.
Well, okay, I say that like, oh, that doesn't seem like that much money. But like, if you're talking about someone who is talking about dropping, quote, $1 million on like home renovations, in the whole grand scheme of things, $500 to $1,000 does not seem like that much money.
Right, which just means, I mean, and I got to imagine he's got. You know, it's a credit card. His limit is, if you'd imagine his limit is pretty high. So I just wonder.
Yeah, I would think so.
I wonder how much like debt he's carrying and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I think that's more of the, you know, issue is like, okay, are you paying off your credit cards? Because I feel like lots of people have a big enough credit limit where if they maxed out all their credit cards, I think most people would struggle to be in a financial place where they could easily pay it off
on a moment's notice. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta keep it paid off like as you go. But if you're so close to your limit that like, I guess, well, I don't know. Because the other thing is, and I'm going to back up a bit. He did say he bought a car, right?
Yes. But your car doesn't affect your credit card.
It does if you put it on your credit card.
Who's doing that? That's like the worst idea ever.
So, okay, back up. No, I won't say that. I'm gonna back up because this is what my parents actually put a car on their credit card because they—
Was it zero interest or something for X amount of time?
No, they had the cash money for the car.
Uh-huh.
Right? So they put it on their credit card, got the points, and then paid for the car on the credit card.
Okay, that makes sense.
At the end of the month.
Yes, because I would say that's a terrible idea. If he was doing that
and it just hadn't rolled over yet and he might have reached his credit limit.
Okay. That makes much more sense because I was just like, the APR, that is so high.
Yeah, no. They didn't take it. They just did it so they would be like, because you know, it's got like 2% cash back. Yeah. And they're like, we got 2% of a car. Absolutely. Freaking awesome. Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah. You get a lot of stuff for that. All right, that's a good life lesson. So I think that pretty much wraps up. There was a lot of stuff going on. It's an interesting season so far. We still have yet to hear from Heather and Dylan, though.
I know, and they seem
so explosive in the previews. Yeah.
I wonder if that one's just going to blow up like almost immediately.
Yes, yeah. And then it's like the end of the relationship. They have nothing else. Yeah, good point.
Well, I guess we will see.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so student of the week.
My student of the week was Quilandria for, you know, calming down. You know, because we always see people who have fights and then, I don't know. And she offered an actual apology and not, I'm sorry you were offended apology. Like, she's like, I did not act correctly. She's like, I still believe, not maybe necessarily what I said, but I still, like, I still had reasons behind what I said that I still believe. But what I said, an actual apology and kind of an had an acceptance, but I don't know. She just acted like a grown up for once. We don't see that too much when people.
Yeah, that's true.
Figure out.
So my student of the week was Tanji. I feel like she's being a good friend. She went to help Tyrese, even though she knew nothing about Shonda. You know, and she's just there, like trying to support her friend.
Right.
And
which is, by the way, I didn't mention at the time. That's super suspicious on her part. Like, of course she's not going to like him. You've already kind of told her by not saying anything about this woman. Yeah. I know you're not.
She's not as important.
You're not going to like her. Like, I'm hiding things from you because I know you're not going to like her. Like, so you've kind of already set yourself up there.
Sure. All right. What about your dunce?
John. John. I mean, I feel like we're really, as much as a mess as everybody in the show tends to be, we're really focusing in on just a couple of people as really, really trashy people. And
oh gosh, yes.
He just doesn't come off. He's not as outwardly trashy as you'd think, right? If you just watched him and listened to him talk, he's like, whatever. But man, he's not thinking about anybody else's feelings. He just wants what he wants. He's going to go through with it. And the pressure and the time, and like, I can't, oh my God. Could you imagine if you had like, I'm really worried about getting someplace on time and they were like, well, we're going to go do this thing. I'm like, even that.
Yeah. You're like, oh, well, it'll be like 10 minutes. It'll be 10 minutes. And then it's like, not really 10 minutes, but he keeps on saying it'll be 10 minutes.
Yeah. I'll just be like, it's been 30 minutes. Oh my God. And while you were trying to, you know, literally the first thing you have to do, like the thing that will put you immediately back in prison, and they're going to be like, yeah, we're going to toy around with that, we're going to cut it as close as we possibly can. Like,
oh my gosh,
that's not even getting into pressuring her into getting married. So everything about what he's doing is just really gross to me.
Well, you know, you can't have John without a Sean. right? So he is my dunce, and it's like, just for letting her weight affect how he feels about her. And it's like, we say this all the time, like, these people are super judgmental, when it's like, they're not a prize either.
Where are you to judge her extra literal 20 pounds? Like, it was. Right. I would say it was about 20 pounds, just like she said, actually.
And she was little to
begin
with.
And she's really short. Like, he definitely got the short part that he likes.
Right. And, you know, it's just like, okay, let's go back to you. Like, you lied about your pictures, it seems like, because...
Oh, he definitely gave her old pictures. Yeah.
Yeah, Destiny said he looks a lot older in real life. So it's like, okay, so you want to, you know, nail her for well, not literally nail, but, you know, like, crucify her for, you know, not looking exactly like her pictures. Hello, guy, you look a lot older in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And then for whatever else he's actually hiding from her. Like, I don't know. I just assumed he was hiding kids from her.
Yeah, that's what still – until I'm proven wrong, I'm going to say it's the kids. Because you know how they tend to, in these shows –
yeah.
Like, really hype up stuff. Oh, it's a secret. What's the secret? What's the secret? And then it'd be like,
yeah,
my left toe is longer than my right toe. I thought you needed to know. I'm sorry if it ruins everything. You're like,
just in case you have children in the future. It'll ruin everything.
They might walk in little circles. I can't prove to stop it. Okay.
Okay. So, life lesson.
Watch out for hot mics. People get hit by hot mics all the time. Can't let those mics be hot. Because
goodness.
Nobody wants to hear when you're about to come.
Oh, God.
Well, I guess one person does, but everybody else doesn't need to.
That visual or audio, mental image in my mind. Oh, goodness. All right. My life lesson is be honest about why you're putting off conflict, but know that it will only make parting ways that much harder. So that is inspired with Chevelle, because it's like, how do you think putting off something that you don't want to talk about till tomorrow so you get laid today is really going to make what you are fearful of what you're going to have to do, basically break up with him? How's that going to make it any easier tomorrow?
Suppose it doesn't. It's not going to be easier tomorrow, but I don't know. But okay, so certain things, like if your excuse was we're both really tired and hungry. We need to like be less tired and hungry to have this conversation productively.
Yes, that's fine. But I don't think having sex contributes to either the tired and hunger, right?
I suppose not. But people seem to think having sex solves a lot of problems than it does.
God.
People have that like angry sex or whatever. And it's like, that doesn't help anything.
No, it doesn't. Maybe it makes you less aggressive.
Possibly.
But it doesn't change the issue at hand.
Doesn't change the issue at hand.
No, it doesn't.
All right.
I guess you got another freebie life lesson in there too.
All right.
So that pretty much wraps up this episode.
Yep.
So we'll be back next week. I'm excited for it. And hopefully we'll see Heather and Dylan. Yeah, finally.
Yeah, I mean, we're excited to see that. Looks like we'll finally see Lindsay. I don't think they can drag that out any longer unless that wasn't her plane.
Oh, gosh, I know, right?
Because that random guy in the airport might not have known when the plane was going to land.
I know. That guy didn't work there. He was just some random guy. And you think, like, that guy just hanging out at the airport all the time? Like, that guy doesn't know more than you.
No, he really doesn't. So we'll get to see them. We should be able – I'm really looking forward to meeting everybody, you know?
Yes, definitely. I want to get to know Destiny a little bit more, too.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like she has a story.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. So we'll talk about all that, hopefully all that next week. And we'll see everybody then.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, bye.